Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Hello, 610. Hi. What's new? You good?
Me? Good. Fine. Friday.
Yes, I'm going.
We got a lot to talk about today. Chuck Todd makes a special appearance just after 6:30. And if you're like me and you have ancestors from S-hole countries, I hope you're thinking of them fondly today.
Oh, good Lord.
Doc Emmerich's going to be live in studio this morning. We're looking forward to that. One of the best play-by-play people in sports, period, ever. Let's go to Dave for confirmation on that.
Ever.
He'll be on. He's going to be talking to Coach Q. So you and I can leave the room.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
So am I. And Jeremy Roenick. Might remember him. He was a fairly popular Chicago athlete for a period of time and still has a delightful head of hair. He's going to be on there.
Are we going to ask him about killing the rattlesnake in his garage?
And not flinching.
And just like throwing it over the... I don't know if he killed it. He picked up like a wedge.
Bizarre.
And threw it over his fence.
Yeah.
Like into the neighbor's yard.
Right. Don't mess with Roenick if you're the neighbor. And David Hochberg later will come in and yell about things and save you a bunch of money. Let's go right to the top six at six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
I'm gonna be honest with you. For the past, oh, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months, I've tried to limit my intake of Trump. It's exhausting. It's exhausting on a day-to-day basis. But there are things that have to be said and things that have to be told. And today, there's certainly one of them. Last night, after a very long Thursday in which the President of the United States misstated his own policy on a very important protection for the United States called a FISA warrant, or a FISA law, I should say, about warrantless wiretaps, he then went on in the afternoon to take a meeting with people that included Senator Durbin, over the United States' fix of the immigration policy, including what we would do with Dreamers, the DACA program. And in that meeting, got frustrated about the possible protections of Salvadorans who previously had been decided would have to leave the country, and of Haitian refugees who are here, and said the following. By the way, last night, if you followed this in national media, the S word was used over and over and over again. I'm only going to say it once. I'm going to say it once right now. And then for the rest of the morning, I would like everybody on the show to use the term without the term. Steve, are you comfortable with that? And even if you're not, I want you to do it that
way. The term without the term, what do you mean?
It's asshole. I don't want to hear the word all morning. I just don't want to hear it all morning.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not really the word anyway. It's what you've meant behind the word.
Right. But I will say it once now for those of you who do missed it. The word he used was he attacked protections for immigrants from shithole countries. Now, the President of the United States using that word behind closed doors, it's not the first time somebody's cursed in the Oval Office. It certainly won't be the last. But the context layered on top of all the other times he has said racist things is revelatory of who he is as a man. That's what's disturbing about it, and we'll take it up with Chuck Todd coming up. But I'll tell you, you want to unleash a hornet's nest? Last night, from sea to shining sea, people were coming out and just slamming Donald Trump in some ways that I had never heard before. Look, if you pay a lot of attention to this, you're not shocked by this. You're not shocked that he feels this way. I think what's more shocking is the fact that he said it in front of a room full of Democrats as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also the sentence that followed it. You know, why can't we have more people from Norway?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what layers it, and that's what tees it all up. And you go, we want more white people, not the brown people and the black people. I mean, there's no other way to interpret it.
There's no way to even explain
sad,
it.
There's no way to sad. Interpret it.
I mean, there's not.
That's item number one. Eddie Johnson, your Chicago Police Superintendent's command staff has been tapped as or a member of the staff has been Eddie Johnson's staff has been tapped as the new second in command. All right, explain this to me.
Anthony Riccio, he's a 31-year veteran of the department. Kevin Navarro is the number two. He's the number two behind Eddie Johnson. He's retiring on February 15th. Anthony Riccio is taking over as the number two. He is currently the chief of the Bureau of Organized Crime, and he oversaw the detectives investigating the Hydea Pendleton case. He's been also a lieutenant in the Belmont Area Violent Crimes Unit, and is very well liked, I'm told. Among
so Riccio replaces Navarro.
Yes, Navarro's retiring.
Okay, and is there a mandatory retirement age for CPD?
There's not a mandatory retirement age, but they can start collecting their pension. You know, you get your full pension certain.
But you can stay a cop.
I want to say maybe it's 65. I'll have to check.
I don't know the answer to that.
I'll ask, yeah.
So that story is out there, and it's important. Eddie Johnson's health concerns were very front and center prior to his transplant that he had last year. And he seems to be doing fine, right?
He's doing very well, yes. Very well. And his son is as well. His son is the one who donated as well. So he's doing well, too.
Mm-hmm. Next. I mentioned the FISA program. The House voted yesterday to extend the National Security Agency's warrantless surveillance program for 6 years with minimal changes. The legislation must still go through the Senate, but passing the House was the big deal, and the Senate will approve it. This is a big story because the president got it wrong on all levels. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, came over to explain to the president what he thought. Not what Ryan thought. He went to explain to the president what the president thought. And the president sent out a tweet a couple hours after his incorrect tweet to correct the first tweet. Any questions? Next. Walmart had a rough day yesterday. The largest private employer in the U.S. cited the new tax bill in announcing wage increases, bonuses, and expanded benefits for its hourly workers, and then announced it's closing 63 Sam's Club stores. I don't know if you're running the math on that. I'm not sure if the employees win or lose. I guess you win if you're still employed and you got a raise, and you lose if you work at Sam's Club at any of those 63.
This comes off Walmart day before yesterday saying that they're going to give all their employees bonuses this year. That'll probably each minimum of $1,000 bonuses.
Probably should talk to them about the definition of bonus next. Aaron Goldstein, 42, is a candidate for Illinois Attorney General, and several members of his campaign team are in the middle taking publicity shots on the northwest side when they were robbed at gunpoint.
Unbelievable.
What neighborhood was this?
This was
Albany Park, I think.
4600 block of North Albany Avenue. Yeah, Albany Park.
So what's the cross street there?
Wilson and would it be Albany?
Probably Albany, yeah.
Yeah, Wilson and Albany.
4600, yeah.
Well, I would say that's a typical neighborhood then, isn't it?
Albany Park is, yeah, it's a
that's
nice area.
I mean.
Yeah.
But nothing special about that where you expect to be robbed at gunpoint?
But you know what? These crimes of opportunity are happening in neighborhoods that you wouldn't even think, where you would normally say, oh, yeah, South Shore, South Loop, Gold Coast. I mean, the crime's happening everywhere.
Well, if someone's got a camera, someone's a professional photographer's got a camera, and you're going to go rob the people that the person with the camera's taking pictures of, wouldn't you assume that maybe they're going to take a picture of you?
Steve, you're trying to get into the criminal mind now.
Did they take the camera?
They took all their equipment and all their phones and everything. They robbed them clean.
Okay, so we don't have any pictures of the bad guys.
Not yet, unless we find the cameras.
I'm sure there's security cameras around there. Yeah. They're everywhere. Big Brother's watching now.
And finally this. Facebook is putting family first in an interview with the Times of London. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's chief executive, discussed the sweeping changes the social media giant is making. They want to prioritize content from people that the 2 billion users of Facebook know. The shift will de-emphasize content from publishers and brands and make it more about people. It'll change the news feed. We want to make sure our products are not just fun but are good for people, Mr. Zuckerberg said. We need to refocus the system. And because it's Facebook, that's a big deal. So we'll see how it all plays out. Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Minute.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I forgot to mention, Hamp's going to be on later. And I've asked Sandberg, I don't know if we'll have time to do it today, it might be Monday, to tabulate the season totals for the Wang Dang Doodle, minus the last week that we forgot to do it and the first week of the playoffs that we didn't do.
Just throw the results
out.
They're tainted.
We'll do the picks with Hamp, and then we'll do some convoluted version of the Wang Dang Doodle later, as opposed to the really smooth stuff we did earlier. John DeCosta is here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
We have a show coming up in Arlington Heights on the 20th at the Metropolis. What's happening at that show?
We are just doing stand-up comedy. It's a night of stand-up comedy at the Metropolis.
Cochran Comedy Tour?
Cochran Comedy Tour, downtown Arlington Heights. A beautiful
little... The old CCT?
Yep. The old... With you, myself, Tim Banker, and Uncle Larry Reeb.
Larry's great.
Chicago legend. Yeah. So... just a night of fun. Just a night of laughter and fun. That's all it is.
Boy, we can use it now.
Oh, yes.
How do I get tickets?
You can go to their website, metropolisarts.com, or contact their box office at 847-577-2121. That's Saturday the 20th at 7:30 at Metropolis.
And as always, it's an Iceman, Blue Thunder, White Lightning production.
Yes.
Coming up on 6:25, I hope everybody had a delightful evening. Were there any big sports events last night that I missed, Dave?
No, there were not.
It's kind of a quiet night.
It was
in sports.
A quiet night.
Except for the Illini getting beat by.
That's not news.
Yeah. Well,
sadly.
It's depressing.
What's going on with the Illini basketball team? Dave, you have 30 seconds to answer the question.
You could probably do it in two.
Well, they're 0-5 in the Big Ten, and three of those losses have been in overtime.
Do they have a good recruiting class that's going to make this better?
Yeah, they do. They have talent coming in, and they have some decent young players, but they're young. And
so it's going to take some time.
I think it's going to take a little time. I think Brad Underwood is a good coach, and he'll get them going. But, yeah, that's a tough one because Iowa hadn't won a game of the Big Ten, and they go into Champaign and come from 20 down to win.
It's not looking good for the rest of the season, I would prognosticate.
Well, at least it was in overtime they lost, so there's a little bit of a bright side.
Yeah, for the third time.
You know, it's bad if Mary's looking at the bright side of Illini basketball.
That's the new standard. Yeah. We came close.
Right. We didn't suck too bad.
It's Friday and bring some, happiness into
the
joy.
Basketball would be, better than football.
No. Man, no, football kicks basketball's butt comparatively. Yeah.
They have the same number of Big Ten wins.
Yeah.
Do they have a baseball team that's any good or something?
Yeah, they're very good.
Oh, thank goodness. Can we report on them?
No, I don't like your chances.
Hey, I've got a red alert story if you want to.
Well, you got 10 seconds. Tell me.
Go adopt a dog from the Chicago Animal Care and Control Shelter. They announced yesterday that they're overbooked there. They have more than 300 animals, and they're going to have to start euthanizing animals if we can't get people to adopt.
We don't got that. All right,
if you want a dog, go adopt.
More on that coming up, and we're coming back with the headlines with Andrea next.
Why are we having all these people from blank countries come here, the president said. Using an expletive, CBS News will not repeat.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Became a big editorial question last night. The Washington Post, I believe the New York Times, certainly CNN. Some shows on MSNBC.
Local media, too.
And local media as well. You all have to answer the question. Do you say the word? The president said asshole. He said the word. We're not using it here beyond what I said at the top of the show. But I understand why others have. And the Washington Post in particular said if it's from the president, we quote it specifically. That's from Marty Baron. Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck, if anybody's paying attention, I don't know that the comments were all that shocking because there's been a pattern here. But I don't know about you. The thing that stuns me about this is how incredibly bad Donald Trump is at this job.
He certainly doesn't understand the interpersonal skills, the little things. He doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. And part of it is that he spent his whole adult life not paying any, not really feeling any consequences. So if you go to your age 71 with nobody punishing you for disparaging some group of people every now and then, and you don't feel a punishment for it, if anything, you get rewarded for it, then what's the discouragement? Of course he's going to keep doing this. And of course he's going to keep not feeling some sort of discomfort when he does it, because, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. He can be caught on tape talking about how he's a sexual predator with women, and it won't matter. So that's the world. I mean, sometimes we have to remember, you say to yourself, why does he do this? Why doesn't he think before he speaks? He's never paid a price.
I completely agree.
Completely
agree with the assessment and completely agree with that. But at what point, and by the way, I don't believe last night is it either, at what point does the Republican Party, in an effort to save itself, decide that enough is enough?
Yeah, well, you know, everyone seems to have their own line individually, right? But they always rationalize their way back. I mean, I had Jeff Flake on earlier this week. I've asked a version of that question 1,000 times to him, because while he speaks out, while he wrote a book, he still votes with the president some 90% of the time. You know, if you want to truly send a message, is that what you do? Or do you totally gum things up, right? So, you know, for now, no, he hasn't even been punished on that front. He's had to take rhetorical lectures from the Jeff Flakes and the Bob Corkers of the world. But he's not seen legislation punished. Now, look, we'll see here. By the way, on the asshole stuff, for what it's worth, I went out of my way not to. I was upset because the word went down to put that, you know, if we wanted to, each show, we were told we could, and a banner for a split second on my show went up without the asterisk on it. But look, my kids watch it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? Yes, look, my kids watch me. But you know what? Now, do they know all these words? Of course they know all these words. They're 10 and 13. You know what? But I don't want to make it mainstream it. I don't want to make it seem comfortable. It's not an easy answer. I'm not criticizing Marty Baron at the Post or CNN or others. But, you know, you say to yourself, if you don't like the coarsening of our culture, then you individually you can do something about it. The president doesn't get to define our culture.
100%.
If he is going to do it this way, right? He doesn't get to define the culture in my house. You know,
it seems like there's just no more decorum, though. I mean, really, Chuck, how many times have you heard,
I know,
well, a president can't say that, or a lawmaker can't do this, or you just can't do that. It's unacceptable in society. Now it's almost becoming, it is becoming acceptable because we are in newsrooms across the
country. Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's acceptable. I just think people continue to get punched. It's not acceptable.
You're absolutely right. But at what point do, you know, we had this discussion last night, too, you know, in our newsroom. Do you say it? Right. Do you not? So now we've come to a point where the bar has been set at this level, whether you consider that low or high, that we have to have these discussions about protecting our children from wars that actually happen.
That part's insane as well.
Yeah. No, I look at it as like I spoke in front of a group of people. Anytime I speak in front of a group of people, I don't curse. And when I do, I feel guilty.
Right.
You know, you know, I hear you, and I think that, you know, the president said it. But I think there's nothing wrong with us drawing a line and saying, you know, just because the president said it doesn't mean we're comfortable passing it on.
Trump just tweeted about it, too.
This just in, Chuck, from the Twitter account of Donald J. Trump. The language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used. What was really tough was the outlandish proposal made, a big setback for DACA. So, in other words, he's denying the quotes that the White House didn't deny in a roundabout way, but he did say he used tough language.
Right. Well, it's as close to a non-denial as it
is. Maybe he's
like that's about as close as you'll get. I mean, look, people in the room, not a single lawmaker, Mario Diaz-Balart, Florida Republican congressman, who was in the room, refused to say he didn't say it. You know what I mean? He didn't. He also danced around it completely, meaning he said it, but he didn't want to get caught confirming that he said it.
It's just outrageous. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, the leaders of the Republican Party, refusing to stand up and say anything. They're practically in the witness protection program. Chuck, when do they pay a price?
Well, it could be in November of 18 when they don't have jobs. You know, when they're not speaker or they're not majority leader. I mean, that's possible. They do. That's when it happens. But, you know, the fact is, Tucker Carlson last night saying the president's right. Many Americans agree with him. And, you know, that rationalization is really getting old with me. Just because he says something that millions of people might agree with doesn't mean it was right for him to say.
Exactly.
Exactly. Doesn't mean it's right for him to be like, he is president of the United States of America, all of 330 million American people, you know, and he's got to be, I mean, you know, you look at a guy, look at, I was watching Rick Scott, he's a governor of Florida, you know, many people said, hey, he was Trump before Trump, all right, you know, the outsider, the loud businessman, he put out a statement this morning talking about how great of a melting pot Florida is. It's pretty cool that 215 different languages are spoken around the state of Florida. You know, this is a guy who has won two terms in Florida, wants to run for the U.S. Senate. He gets it. He gets it. He knows it's sort of it's what makes Florida interesting, what makes Florida unique. And, oh, by the way, the guy's never gotten over 50% in an election. And, you know, he only won the last time by some 65,000 votes. There are more than 65,000 Haitian Americans that vote in the state of Florida. So this could actually have some electoral consequences.
The Wall Street Journal sat down with Trump last night for about 45 minutes. We don't have time to get into this in the next 60 seconds. But one of the things that came out in the interview was Donald Trump making a statement that he, quote, probably has a really good relationship with Kim Jong-un. I've seen people for the last 12 to 18 hours bending themselves into a pretzel trying to figure out what strategy Trump was using. Chuck, you and I have talked about this a million times. There's no strategy. He opens his mouth and words fall out.
Yeah, and he believes at the end of the day, he's also a salesman, and he believes he can befriend anybody in any room. So on that front, he would believe that. It's, you know, but then again, his buddy Dennis Rodman is pals with Kim Jong-un, so maybe he's getting some diplomatic advice from former Apprentice star and personal friend Dennis Rodman. I mean, he could perhaps be the new envoy.
Dennis Rodman, Andrea, the only hope for America.
I know. That's scary, sad, baffling, bewildering.
You know, we would sit here and say in the movie, if Dennis Rodman saved the world from nuclear catastrophe, we would say, oh, that's a stupid plot twist in the movie. And yet, like, that's not an implausible scenario in this presidency, right? Like, it's like a 1% chance, but there's a 1% chance.
Right. Art imitating life.
Dennis Rodman. Exactly.
I'd argue it's one of the more logical outcomes here. Exactly. Chuck, thank you for doing this. We'll see you on Meet the Press on Sunday.
You got it, brother.
Thanks, man. See you.
Thanks, Chuck. Oh, my God.
Tell me about the London piece of this.
President Trump has canceled his trip to London. He was supposed to be there to... Remember last year he said he was going to be in London early part of 2018. He's going to dedicate this new U.S. embassy. He says he's not going. He's canceled the trip because, this is his reasoning, the cost and the off location of the new U.S. embassy. And then he took to Twitter to slam former President Obama, saying that it was over cost. He didn't like where it was located, and it was the finest embassy in London, and they sold it for peanuts, only to build, peanuts is his term, only to build a new one in an off location for $1.2 billion. And then he tweeted, bad deal, wanted me to cut the ribbon. No. So he's claiming he's canceling the trip to London because he didn't like the cost of building it. It's a unique looking place too.
Is it the Pickle Building?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Pickle Building.
Yeah, it's strange looking.
Every reputable source, on the record and off the record, is saying the same thing. Because of the concern for massive protests in the street in London, the London government and the United States government have mutually agreed this is not the time for Donald Trump to visit London.
Right.
That's the reason he's not going.
So my question to you, are we going to continue with these? I mean, a lot of people are referring to them as isolationist decisions. You know, London, Britain is our greatest ally, Israel as well. I mean, we're really... When I say we, I mean the United States, perhaps is not making the right call in some of these. I don't know.
Again, I'll go back to where I started. He's really bad at this job. I mean, really, really bad at this job.
And it was George W. Bush who did that London embassy deal, by the way.
Yeah.
Not Obama.
Right.
Why are you bringing facts in?
Yes,
I know. It's nobody cares about facts anymore, do they?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
One of the coolest things about my friend and yours, Paul Conrad, is this Friday kids weather thing they do.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Where they bring a kid in to do the forecast, and Paul works with him, and then the kid does the forecast, and we were just watching it laughing here in the studio. I would never encourage you to turn this show off, but tape that. See that.
Oh,
it's well worth it, and it's very cool. And then he has the kid bow. at the end. And I taught Abigail Grace how to bow this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So she's doing it a lot now?
Her grandmother tried to teach her how to curtsy.
Nah, do a bow.
Oh, I said, listen, you want me involved in that training? That's not happening. My knees aren't working at that level.
Yeah, that's true.
But the bow, the
love
bow is a little kid bowing. That's pretty darn
great.
That's great. Yeah, that's pretty great. New year, new bed, new mattress. Mattress Firm's got you covered with the New Year's sleep sale that's going on now. A great night's sleep is great for the mind and body. Mattress Firm is making it easier for you to make 2018 the healthiest year yet. Get a free Fitbit with any mattress of $799 or more. It's Mattress Firm's New Year's closeout, meaning you can save up to 70% on famous brand floor models. It includes Beautyrest, Inserta, and Hampton Roads. You can also save on all the essentials like adjustable bases and much more. Plus, they've got this mattress in a box. It's called Tulo, T-U-L-O, Tulo. And they're going to send it to you for free. You're not going to have to pay for shipping right now during this New Year's sleep sale. It's impossible not to start 2018 off perfectly when Beautyrest Queen mattresses start at just $399 or Hampton and Roads Queen mattresses start at just $199. Start 2018 off by saving money at Mattress Firm. Dave, you and I have the same kind of mattress in our separate homes.
Yes. Separate mattresses.
Yes.
Too.
But the question that I have, and I don't know the answer to this, and I need to check with the experts at Mattress Firm, should we ever flip these mattresses?
Should we flip the mattresses?
You know, on the traditional mattress flipping, these fancy newfangled mattresses, I don't know that we need to flip them.
Let's ask a mattress expert.
The butthole. Do you get the butthole with this?
Not really.
No, you don't. Ours, you don't flip because, and you can tell when you take the sheets off, you know, there's only, the top is only on the top, the extra
pillow
technology.
Top?
Yeah. But you do rotate them. And so we rotated ours.
So you put the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top.
You spin them?
Yeah, you know, yeah. So now in different cases, like we have a king, and so it, you know, we rotate it, I flip it around or whatever. You've got the king, but it's like two twins kind of.
Yeah, right.
So you
right.
flip those, you know.
Yeah, because they're adjustable separately.
Or you and Maureen should switch off. Though I was talking to my husband about this with the flipping, like, so if he's starting to, you know, create, as Mary calls, a butthole, which we are not having with our Mattress Firm, but like, why do I have to get your hole on my side? Like,
right, because he's a big old dude.
You go live in your hole, but we don't have any holes. I love that mattress. Yeah. It's the best purchase we've ever
go
made.
Go to your hole. Live in your hole.
It's better than any kind of therapy you could do or anything as couples counseling.
I'm telling you, Mattress Firm gets it done.
Now, I'm taking notes on all of this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, and then you're going to file them.
Yes.
The spinning of the mattresses, I hadn't thought about that, but that makes total sense. Could you put them toe-to-toe, like end-to-end, just make one long
one long
bed.
Mattress? I guess like a tandem spot, parking spot?
Yeah, you make it sound like an event, like the cherry blossoms or the coming of the cicadas.
Spinning of
the
mattresses.
Like the
and it's a fun, like with a king, we had, it was a couple's activity because I cannot spin it myself.
Now, let me just explain something to you. When you refer to couples activity, here's what men hear. I'm sorry, what are we doing?
Boy, this will be on the Nick DiGilio show.
We have
couples activity.
We have a queen. Now I feel sort of...
Small?
Yeah.
Dave, size doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen it in all the magazines.
Seriously, what are we talking about?
It's a good question.
John catching up slowly.
Conway also said last night that President Trump realized there doesn't need to be a wall alongside the entire southern border because, quote, there are rivers involved, I'm told. There are mountains involved. Also, people don't want to come here anymore because we have a bad president.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Gotta play something for you in just a second, which, you know, not my words, somebody else's words. Rick Wilson is a Republican political strategist, very highly regarded around the country. You see him regularly, mostly on CNN, but on other news networks as well. I'm gonna play something from him in just a second in regards to the Trump S whole country's comment last night. I got a box of Sweet Alley sweet and savory gluten-free treats. Sweet Alley's Bakeries in Hinsdale and Glenview for all your celebrations. We're going to give some of these away. Is that what we're doing? How about the seventh caller with a tummy ache? If you call up and you're the seventh caller and you go, oh, please, Mary. That means you've got a gluten situation. You got a gluten situation?
I do not.
I was in a band called The Gluten Situation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of music was that?
Mostly a thrasher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thrasher. About a thrasher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Number to call is 312-981-7200. Remember, you must be the seventh caller, starting with the seventh caller, and just go, Mary, please. Oh, please. My stomach hurts.
Maybe your stomach's aching for some sweet treats.
Gluten-free savory treats. Savory. It's a word I don't use every day. Rick Wilson is a Republican. Rick Wilson's words on being an American and his own personal feelings on what happened last night with the president's comments on S-hole countries and why we need more people from Norway, not from Africa and those. Rick?
Goes back to a broader question. America is not a Volk. We're not a Narod. We are not a race of people. We are a proposition. We are an idea. We are a constitution and a set of laws and principles and objectives that when you come here, if you buy into that system and play by the rules in that system, you are part of it. It is the American system. We are not based on a single demographic mix. And no matter what your flimsy economic excuses are about it, because there have been a lot of changes in the economy of jobs being lost to automation than there are to immigration by orders of magnitude.
Okay.
So, you know, it really comes down to that point where if you believe in this country and you believe in the proposition of this country, then you're colorblind to where people are coming from. If they come to this country, follow the law, play by the rules, and enter this society to work hard and raise their families and embrace the American dream.
What makes this country great is not what color you are, but what you do with your life in this country. That's it. He's 1,000% right. Rick Wilson. Your microphone got turned off. I apologize.
And what you do for society, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not about the color.
People coming here, and they're paying taxes.
Martin Luther King. It's not the color of your skin. It's the content of your character. 6:57. Back in a moment. It is 6:59. Just ahead of 7, the legend, Travis Green. He's not old enough to be a legend, but we already gave him the race. He's going over to Channel 9 in a few minutes, but he's in the house to talk to us in just a second. We'll play a little bit of his music too. That Dan Hampton on the NFL weekend. Dave, this is supposed to be the most entertaining games, the divisional round. Just ahead of the conference championships, these are usually the most entertaining games.
I'm fired up.
I think there are going to be some great games this weekend. I mean, I think Atlanta, Philly tomorrow, a lot of people are writing off Philadelphia, but I think that'll be a terrific game, and I think that Saints-Vikings game very well could be the best game of the weekend Sunday.
Travis isn't here yet, but Travis, if you were here, are you a football fan?
I am.
All right,
so I play college football.
We're going to make you
flag football.
We're going to make you the celebrity picker here in just a second as well.
Cool.
All right, stand by.
ATL.
Nice to see you, buddy. 7 o'clock. Are we going straight to the news? What's the plan? I've never worked on this show.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
On the edge of a cliff, nothing below but tragedy. At the end of myself, nowhere to go but down from here. I feel the weight, I feel the tug of my sin, and gravity keeps pulling me down, and I deserve it. But your hand blocked the ground, I fell in love. Oh, oh.
Voice so good, make you cry. Travis,
Stevie.
Montorious Green, live in studio.
What's up, boss man?
What a pleasure to see you.
Hey, glad to be here, man.
All right, now you got to win this Grammy in a couple of weeks.
We're going to try. We're going to see what happens.
How good is the category?
It's pretty. It's always good, but I try not to get too anxious, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you got to kind of just act like it doesn't matter.
But
then you're not disappointed.
You know, you're an Atlanta kid, but where'd you go to church?
Growing up?
Yeah.
Columbus, Georgia. Peaceful Holiness Church.
Peaceful. How could you go wrong if you grow up in Peaceful Holiness Church? Did you sing in a choir?
No, I didn't. I didn't start singing until college. Georgia Southern, the Georgia Southern University.
Right. That's the Flying Horned Frogs, isn't it, Dave?
I believe Southern. That's true, yes.
Eagles.
All right. Now, most things about you say, you know, most of the research on you, because we do the full background check, as you know.
Of course.
You were doing this starting about 2007. You had to be singing more than 10 years ago, because I just got hip to you in the last couple of years.
Man, I started when I was about 21. I was in college.
Yeah.
And I'll be 34 next week.
Boy, you look good for an old guy.
Well, you know, man, you do a few push-ups. Here
moisturizer?
And
it's a moisturizer?
Yeah, some lotion from Nordstrom, and you'll make it through.
Oh, there you go, through that.
So, but did you know you could sing?
I had an ear for music, you know,
yeah.
And I played multiple instruments, so I kind of understood the language of music, and I just kind of jumped out there in college. And
but that's not a usual story. Usually at 21, 21's not when you really realize, but your voice is unbelievable.
Man, a lot of auto-tune. No, I'm kidding. practice, a lot of practice, a lot of prayer, and a lot of sympathy from God.
At what point did you know, all right, I'm going to make it? This is going to be, the dream is going to become a reality.
Oh, man. Early, you know, but I thought it would happen sooner. I didn't know I would lose everything and get broke and then have the whole, you know, pursuit of happiness story.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to happen, you know, immediately.
Right.
So I quit my first job and I was like, here we go. I'm going to be famous tomorrow.
Right,
nope.
Right away.
Nah, man. Got in debt, lost a lot of things. And
learned a little bit about business on the way.
Learned a little bit about taking my time, signing contracts.
Right.
And
from
the bottom up.
I'm reading the contracts. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, my first contract, I had my pastor overlook it. He was like, yep, looks good to me.
I tell you, God bless every pastor in America, but if you find a church that's run like a well-tuned business, let me know.
Yeah, he took a little, sprinkled some holy water on it. It's like, it's good. Go ahead. Give your life away to this. Bad job, Pastor.
Crossover, live from Music City. That's the new one, right?
Yeah, man. It's a new record, and it's doing well. The song You Waited is currently number one on Billboard.
Which we're going to play, by the way.
We're rocking and rolling, man. I'm enjoying it.
And where'd you record it?
I recorded in Nashville.
Yeah, but we're in Nashville.
We did this place called Skyville Live, and we kind of converted it to like this cool hippie environment, and we packed about 300 people in there. We wanted it real limited and you know, real cool, and it turned out really great.
So, have you done the Cold studio album as well? You know, were you just in the room singing into a microphone with the guys?
I have early
because
on.
Because I don't know anything about this because you know I got a 2-note range.
Yeah.
But when you go into a Cold studio versus you know, setting up a set and doing it live in front of the crowd. It's got to be hard just singing in the studio.
It is, man. You got to do things like, I'll run up and down the steps or I'll do some jumping jazz, get my heart and adrenaline going. So, you know, it feels live. But live is just better. You know, you feel the energy in the room and you do things that you never thought you could do. And you listen back like, wow, did that happen? And it's pretty cool. So,
there you go.
My preference.
Where were you when you got the news that you were nominated for a Grammy this year?
I was home.
Uh-huh.
And my manager, Norman, texted me. He was like, congrats. And I was like, cool, let's get it, man. And but this year we're gonna be in New York. You know, typically it's in LA the past 2 years and that we went, and this year it'll be in New York, so it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you spent much time in New York?
Yeah, we just left New York a few days
ago. Yeah, I was just going to say, you're complaining about the cold in Chicago. You need a break.
Man, it's colder here than anywhere in the world. Santa lives here, man.
This is a true story. A week ago, was it a week ago now where we had that cold snap for 13
straight
days?
Oh, yeah, 25 below.
Yeah, a week ago, it was colder in Chicago, and I'm not making this up. The wind chill in Chicago was colder than the temperature on the surface of Mars.
OMG.
That's a fact.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, you got to be careful out here in these streets, man.
That's why it was legal to go out and slap a weatherman that day. 3 times, smack him. So you're on tour now. Limited?
Yeah, man.
How many cities?
About 9 or 10.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so we kick off February 18th. We're hitting every market out here this way. So Chicago will be here February 19th, I think.
Yeah, what venue? You guys know? Top of your head?
Lincoln Hall.
Lincoln Hall. Oh, that's a great venue.
Yeah, you guys got to come, man.
Lincoln Hall.
I'd love it.
You got to come.
Yeah, I don't stay up late for too many things, but I'll do it for
you.
Yeah,
man, I'll comp you some tickets for $100.
Do you love playing? Oh, there you go. For him, right?
For him.
Thank you, Trevin. Hey,
got to pay those bills.
You love playing Chicago? I mean, we love gospel.
Oh, man,
we love blues.
Yeah, Chicago is kind of the home of gospel, man. You have a lot of greats that come here and blues, too. So nowhere like Chicago. It's a lot of pressure here because they're like, all right, give it to me. What you going to do? You know where you at. And but, yeah, I love it here. No place like Chi-Town.
You got kids coming up to you now going, how do I do it?
Of course.
What do you tell them?
Everyone wants to be famous tomorrow. You know, I tell them it's a marathon, not a sprint. Take your time, dig deep, be willing to go through the fire if you really want to get there. And so that's what I tell them, you know.
Yeah, but I sort of, from the gospel side, I just have a feeling that if you don't feel it, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, you got to feel it.
So who was your mentor? Who was the person that got you through?
Oh, man, so many. So many. It's difficult to name. Of course, the legendary Kirk Franklin.
He's the best.
John P. Key, Fred Hammond, Israel Houghton. Yeah. Yeah, so it's many out there, but Kirk is my dude, man. And I mean, here in Chicago, like I said, everybody's here. Donald Lawrence is here. So this is the city right here, man.
What's the best church to sing in?
Woo! Man, it's a few here in Chicago.
Yeah?
It's a few here in Chicago. One, All Nations, Matthew Stevenson. He's thebomb.com. I'll be with him tonight.
Is that right?
John Hanna, New Life, is here in Chicago. Charles Jenkins, Fellowship, is here in Chicago. So Bill Winston is in Chicago. Good Lord, man. This is just it. So
it is, yeah.
So it's like a home game for you. Forget about Atlanta. You need to move here.
I can't.
Because your wife will leave you?
Because my skin won't survive.
I was going to say, it's too cold.
Man, listen. No, man. I'm not used to this at all.
How about we just have a place for you then from, say, what would we do, June 1st to September?
There you go.
I could do that.
There you
I could do that.
Yeah.
But I heard it's really expensive here. You know, my house is 50,000 square feet.
50,000? Seems like a star like you would have something bigger.
And I heard you only get like 50 square feet here for the same price.
It is a little pricey at
times.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
But, you know, you're with your success, you can get it done.
No, man, I don't have that kind of money yet. I don't have Steve money yet.
There you go.
But I'm gonna keep going, man. I'm gonna keep grinding.
Are you gonna sing on TV this morning?
I am. Yeah.
All right. We're your friends here, so we're not gonna make you sing at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're gonna play your music.
Thank you. How kind.
So stand by, and if you're watching Channel 9 later, I'll let you slip over there for just a second of our sister TV station, so you can see.
Thanks, man.
See Travis singing live. All right, let's do
tickets
this.
For tour. TravisGreen.tv. Had to drop that.
How about following you on social media?
Oh, yeah, social media at Travis Green TV.
All right.
And, so grab those tickets.
Yeah, and at Cochran Show. We got to follow each other.
Yeah, let's do it.
I got 14 followers. I can hook you up.
Boom!
Yeah, stand by.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What my eyes can't see, I still believe. Trust in you. While I'm waiting, I'm getting stronger.
Travis Green, live in studio.
And I will run.
And it is great to meet you.
Thank you for the bagel, man.
By the way, yeah, and I find a bagel's great for an interview.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, clog you up real good while you're trying to talk.
It gets you going.
Who does the writing?
I do.
All alone, or you got partners?
Most of it.
So where do you write? Whenever it hit you?
Whenever it hit me. Anywhere I am.
What's your best story about writing a song?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Probably there was a song that did really well that I wrote called Made Away.
Okay.
And I wrote it while my wife was in the hospital. Her water broke halfway through her pregnancy, and the doctor said that there was no way our son was going to make it. And I wrote that song during that time, and my son made it. He's 3 years old now.
God bless.
With no signs of prematurity. It's a blessing.
How? That's miraculous.
Yeah.
That's goosebump stuff.
Yeah, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, so you write the song while your wife's going through that, and you must have been crying your eyes out.
Yeah, it was tough. She was on bed rest in the hospital for 2 months, and poor girl. And then my son was in the hospital in the NICU for 2 months. He was born 1 pound. So he was like,
that is incredible.
In my hand. Yeah, and then they kept him for 2 months, and he's here today. Yeah.
Those are the kind of stories, and you know, I've got my first grandbaby, little girl that's two, that just, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it reminds me how much fun I had when my kids were little. Because, you know, I'm that dad, right?
Yeah. So that was probably, 80 years ago when your kids were little?
Yeah, 80. Yeah, 80. That's the number. But I understand. Like, if you've been in the room when the baby's born, I have respect for people that don't believe. I get it. You're entitled.
Yeah.
But once you experience that, I don't know how you can't go, well, yeah, there's somebody bigger than me getting this done.
It's a miracle, man. It's crazy.
God bless. What a good story that is.
Yeah, women are amazing and powerful. I don't know how y'all do it.
Yeah. Well, imagine if it was just us. What a mess we'd be.
I couldn't do it, man.
So, be no good at all.
No.
Do you? I'm sure your writing changes as well.
Yeah.
You know, what you write now is probably different from 10 years ago when you first started.
Yeah.
Just based on your life.
Yeah. You just evolve. You know, you see things differently. Kids are a game changer. I got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they just changed my view of the entire world. I have an amazing wife who also changed my view. So as I evolve as a man, you know, I just see things differently, and that definitely impacts my writing.
Yeah. Plus, 10 years ago, you're in college.
Right.
And, yeah. And so you're probably writing. We were talking about this off the air. That's when you wrote your first hit, Ramen Noodles. Is that 10 years ago? That was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I was back in college when I wrote that song.
You're right.
And, yeah.
The album's called Crossover, live from Music City. Is You Waited from that?
You Waited is on that record. It was the first single released off the record. And like I said, it's number one on gospel charts right now. And it's been a fun ride, man. This is crazy. I'm doing what I always wanted to do. My wife asked me a few months ago. She said, "How does it feel to live inside of your dream?" You know.
What a good question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm enjoying it, man.
Well, why do you wake up happy every day?
Yeah.
You want to give your guys some credit here?
Yeah, man. Norman, my manager, Chandler, my oldest son, I call him, but I didn't give birth to him, but I practically raised him. So. They both travel with me.
Is Norman always this much fun?
Norman is really irritant in my life. you know, there's some people in your life who you celebrate and others you tolerate. I would say I tolerate Norman.
Well, what's funny about Norman is we're in here, we're laughing it up, and every time I look up, Norman's going, "I got business to do, just shut up."
That's right. All he does, man. Yeah. You know, Norman is my wife's brother, so...
So it's all in the family.
So, yeah, it was kind of, she was like, "He's going to go with you." I was like, "Crap, all right. But come on, man." Come on, I guess. Just hang on. Here we go. Nah, Norman's the best, man.
Again, the Chicago date is?
February 19th. It is going to be on and popping.
At Lincoln Hall. Any tickets left, do we know?
Lincoln Hall. Yeah, a few, man. So
not many.
Jump on them.
Get on that.
It's selling fast.
I think six times over cost. Apparently, we're all getting in.
No, apparently if you mention my name, you get in at the regular price.
There you go.
That's a sweet deal.
That's what they're saying out here, man.
That's a sweet deal.
If you say Stevie Cochran.
Travis Montorius Green. All right, we're going to play You Waited because I know you got to run the TV, but great to see you.
Cool, man. Thanks
for
having
Grammy.
Me.
All right, bring God bless. Grammy.
I'm going to try. If I win it, I'm going to bring it for you to see it.
Yes.
All right. Or at least FaceTime us.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Awesome. Wait till winners are. Safe travels, man. Nice to see you.
Thanks, man.
729. Here's Travis Green. You Waited.
We're going to do this song. It's called You Waited. Your way, you sat down to speak to me. What amazing grace that you've shown, so patiently, and you.
Anchors a young bear's defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
The Hall of Famer, by the way. Special co-host. We're going to make him jump on early. Doc Emmerich's here. He's been in town all week. You know, nice enough to come by. We're going to throw him on here in just a second as well. Even though, Dave, you missed the text, he wanted to sit in the green room and meditate on Northwestern football.
That's... not a bad suggestion, really.
Dan Hampton in the divisional weekend. This is the weekend where we usually get the best games, right?
Well, usually you get four really good matchups. And in the NFC, it's going to be very interesting. And, you know, for... some of the casual fans that don't realize it, hey, guess what? The Atlanta Falcons are back to being the team we saw last year, and they're going into Philadelphia. Who has to play without, you know, Carson Wentz, the certain MVP of the league up until he got hurt in Week 14. The other one is New Orleans Saints up in Minnesota. Minnesota trying to be the first team in history to have a home playoff game at the Super Bowl. So those are really good matches. But the other ones? Oh, think about this. Tom Brady has something like 23 playoff games played, Blake Bortles has one. In the other game, the Tennessee Titans, Mariota, he has one. He's playing against Ben Roethlisberger, who has about 20. So, it's going to be really interesting to see if the wannabes in the AFC can stand up.
Wait, I thought Jacksonville was playing Pittsburgh. Have I got the wrong schedule in front of me? I thought it was Jacksonville-Pittsburgh.
No, Jacksonville's playing Pittsburgh.
All right, Jacksonville-Pittsburgh, Tennessee-New England. So it's Mariota-Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one. That's
hey,
the one.
It's early, okay?
No. Listen, I just want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. You know I'm on Team Hamp. But you're right. Those are the games we'll be paying attention to this weekend. Dave?
Well, that Tennessee game, I mean, you look at what they did in the second half last week against Kansas City. We can talk more about that, too. But is that enough, Hamp, to give them the impetus to go into Foxborough in prime time and beat the Patriots?
I don't know. You know, over the years, the Patriots have, for good or bad, you know, they've been very successful, but there's not anybody on their defense that you say, oh, my God, we've got to take care of this guy. This guy's, you know, we got to double it. It's a bunch of guys, and they do a pretty good job of, you know, of just hanging around, letting, you know, the offense with Tom Brady score points, and then, you know, they make offenses one-dimensional because they got to, you know, start throwing it, and then they can, you know, kind of match up. All I can tell you is Tennessee has the ability to pound on you, and Derrick Henry did that in the third and fourth quarter against Kansas City, and they didn't have no answer. I don't know if it's a close game and Tennessee just sticks with it and keeps pounding away. Will they be patient enough to make a game out of it? I don't know. I'll tell you this, though. Usually, you know, Belichick is one of those kind of guys that can kind of see the train coming and make a plan and provide for, you know, certain trends in the game. So I'll just tell you this. Tennessee should not have won that game. Kansas City
absolutely
blew it. And you know what? We're going to talk about Matt Nagy, the new head coach, here in a minute. But on Pro Football Weekly yesterday, I said, come on, Kansas City had a 21-3 halftime lead, and you've got the leading rusher in the NFL, and you lose that game? Somebody should be fired. Oh, wait a minute. We hired him as our head coach.
It is an odd entry. You have your worst performance as a coordinator, and then you get a head coaching job 5 days later. So in those 5 days, with all the folks you talked to, have you learned anything about Matt Nagy that makes you feel better about it?
I'll tell you this. You know, and again, when we were looking at the firing of Fox down the stretch, and I kept saying, hey, it's got to happen, and it will happen, but who are you going to get? That's the most important thing. You know, firing a coach is one thing, but replacing him means everything. And the actual, you know, talent pool was not that great. It was very depth of a waiting pool in a way. You know, Matt Nagy probably would have been my second or third pick, but regardless, he still is a young, energetic, innovative coach. And the thing that I got to tell you, and it's kind of delicious in a way that Vic Fangio is now basically, you know, playing hard to get and stiff-arming the Bears because, you know, they never really respected him as far as giving him a true path to become a head coach candidate. But either way, if we can re-sign Vic Fangio and you know, combine him with Harry Highsett, the offensive line coach, and Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, the new one.
That's an A-list. I'm just telling you, those make me very excited. So, you know, when Nagy was talking in his press conference, he kept saying, no egos. You know, we all work together. It's going to be a collaborative effort. All that's good. I got to tell you, some of these young offensive minds that have come into the NFL, they, you know, bringing some of that run pass offs and the RPOs and the speed sweeps and the speed screens and all these different things that we didn't see up until 3, 4, 5 years ago, they are very effective, especially when you look at how a defense has to prepare for it. So there's a lot of good stuff going on, and, hey, I give him a big thumbs up.
Hemp, you were on a team that had the defensive coordinator in place when the head coach arrived. And a little bit different situation, I suppose, because it was already a foregone conclusion that Buddy Ryan was staying. But what's your gut? Does it tell you that Vic Fangio ends up staying with the Bears here? And do you see any problem with that being a workable situation?
No, because, you know, quite honestly, you know, and I don't know Vic Fangio, but I've watched him from afar. And he is one of those kind of coaches that, in the back of their mind, they probably say, hey, I'd be a great coach. Even me, I think I'd be a great. But, hey, you know, it's not like he has to become one. Some people, they wake up every morning. Ditka used to wake up at 4 a.m. trying to, you know, he wanted to be a head coach. He wanted to be the man. I think Vic is very, very happy doing what he's doing, and he does it very well. But once in a while, once in, you know, maybe once or twice in a lifetime, you are in a position where you hold the cards. Right now, Vic Fangio is holding the cards, and he's enjoying this. And he's playing, you know, five-car hold'em, and he's basically letting the Bears maybe inch up the offer until the pot's sweet. And if he doesn't, you know, hey, yeah, I'll be disappointed, but I think it'll happen. And as far as the way, you know, the head coach, defensive coordinator relationship, you know, Vic, 20 years older and already here and established. No, hey, if I was Nagy, I'd say, hey, this is perfect. I don't have to worry about the defense. I can let him handle that. We know right. He's capable. He will. Hey, it takes one less real big topic off of his desk that he has to be concerned with. Where a lot of head coaches, you know, they got the offense, the defense, especially every day, they're worried about it all.
It's Dan Hampton brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'll come back and talk about those four games for the divisional playoffs in just a second and say hi to Doc Emmerich. Doc's going to hang around and talk to Coach Q, and that's when Dave, you and I will have to leave the studio.
Yes, we will.
Yes, right, Doc? I mean, we'll just leave the room.
Oh, you are.
We'll just walk out.
I mean, way too much hockey knowledge between you and Q.
Me and you,
just
Doc?
Just you and Andrea. Yeah,
that's great.
That's right. Yeah.
We'll do horse racing, too.
That sounds good.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, now, baby.
Much text asking about Travis Green crossover live from Music City. You download that, you're going to have a better weekend. We'll be on Channel 9 this morning. Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp and I are Chevy guys, 7 years in a row, number one. Someday soon, we'll be able to say that about the Bears. All right, we'll take
Wouldn't
one.
That be nice?
We'll take one. We'll take one first. You got to start a streak with one, so we'll start with one. The great Doc Emmerich is in studio with us, Hamp, and we're going to ask him to chime in on these picks, too, when we get to him. But before we ask you about scores for the weekend, anything else we ought to be watching in these four games?
Well, a couple of things. There has been reports out of Foxborough that, you know, the big three, Belichick, Kraft, the owner, and, of course, Tom Brady, oh, they're all sick of each other. Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't be sick of each other if I had won five Super Bowls together. I think I'd find a way to love each other. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can hit the ground and everyone be focused because, obviously, there's been a lot of turmoil reported up there. So we'll see that. Other than that, you know, the Jags went into Pittsburgh and embarrassed them back in October, intercepted Ben Roethlisberger 5 times in a game. And after the game, Roethlisberger said, I don't know if I still got it. Well, the last 7 weeks of the season, they've been the highest scoring offense in football, 31 points per game. So, you know, like I said, it looks like the AFC's rolling and the NFC, those are going to be really good, close, tight games.
All right, let's start with you, Dave. Hawks at Philadelphia.
I am going to, you know, a lot of people are writing off Philly, and I like the way Atlanta is playing right now, but I think that at least for one more game, I think Nick Foles can get it done. I might regret this come Monday, but I'm going with Philadelphia at home.
Is that right? Give me a score.
Oh, we're picking scores, too?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, I'm going to go Philly 24, Atlanta 21.
24-21.
Mm-hmm. That's Dan snickering in the background, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure it's not snickering. He's just saying Dave. I can't do it. I got to go Atlanta here. I just don't think Philadelphia's got the quarterback to get it done, and I think they're going to be impressive. 34-14, blowout time. Doc Emrick, this is just for fun. Jump in here. Atlanta-Philadelphia.
I worked in Philadelphia for 10 years. Atlanta 24, Philadelphia 10. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, realism comes home. The quarterback is so important in this
Amen.
Sport. I remember George Blanda at Wrigley Field. The quarterback's pretty important.
Pretty darn.
Eddie Brown throwing to Harlan Hill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you must have been a toddler.
Yeah, Red Grange was our announcer. Anyway, moving on.
How about that? You want to jump in on this, Andrea?
No, I'm good. I was going to say Philadelphia, but I'm going to go with whatever Doc says.
Oh, all right, so we'll just make you Doc's picks.
When I said Philadelphia, you won't go with me?
No. I'm going to go with Doc's picks.
Okay. Yes. Hamp, Atlanta, Philly.
30-10. I think Atlanta's back to the team we saw last year. They're rolling.
Titans at the Patriots. Dave.
New England 34, Tennessee 10.
34-10. Look, I got to go Patriots as well, but I do think it's going to be a better game. I got 17-14 in kind of a slugfest, and that's Patriots over the Titans. Doc, what do you think here?
28-21 Patriots, rain and 14 degrees. I think it neutralizes the playing field a little.
That's what I was thinking.
I was going to say Patriots too, but I'm going with Doc's picks again.
You going with Doc again?
Mm-hmm. He said Pats too. But
Hamp?
Patriots are undefeated 6-0 after a divisional round, after a bye. They're going to roll. It's another 40-10 game.
40-10?
Yeah, they're going to roll.
That's like a Bears-Patriots score from 1985. Wow. Moving on to the Sunday games, which apparently I've just lost off my screen here.
Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, the early game.
Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, Dave.
Pittsburgh 24-17.
So you see that one being as being a little bit closer.
A little bit closer, yeah.
Yeah, as much as I dislike Roethlisberger, I got to pick him. And it's not going to be close there either in my world. 30-13, Pittsburgh over Jacksonville. Doc?
I see today because he had the same score I did and the same outcome.
Hey. All right, there you go.
Oh, so Andrea now is going to
I was
going to
pick
score.
The Steelers anyway, but...
She's picking with Doc. But it just happens to coincidentally be with you, Hamp.
I think anyone that watched that game last week, they had to take a nap because it was so bad. Blake Bortles played like Henry Burris recreated the game of football in his backyard. Look, I'm saying the Steelers 31-17, and they have to go to Foxborough.
And a game that I think could be the game of the weekend. Saints and the Vikings in Minnesota under the roof. Dave?
Saints 27-21.
Yeah.
This could get me thrown out of my mother's house. She loves New Orleans, and she loves her Saints.
Vikings.
28-26. Doc.
Vikings, right, Doc?
I see Andrea first.
Thank you, Doc. I'm going Vikings, 21-17.
Are you on the same page here?
No, I like Breeze as a dome quarterback.
Oh, no.
Give me a score.
24-14.
All right, Hamp.
I guess I like Drew Breeze now.
21-20, the Saints go in and steal one.
It sets up for some pretty good conference championships, and we'll talk about it next week as well. Where are you going to be watching the games, Hamp?
I've got a couple of places I've got to be at, but more importantly, back to the Bears real quick.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to keep an eye on this Vic Fangio thing, and if we can get him re-signed, hey, next year, do not laugh. The top five seeds in the NFC were not in the playoffs a year ago. So this is doable. We've got a great little plan that we can kind of hope for next year by watching some of these teams.
I totally agree. Totally agree. That's the good thing. One of the good things about the NFL. Thank you.
Go Bears.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Back with the news. Then Dean and our friend Doc Emrick and then Coach Q later. We've got a lot to do here on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, good.
8:14, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. We've got a full studio, Dean. The great Doc Emmerich is here, and Doc is called, I think he's already done two games this week. He's got a third one coming up on Sunday.
Doc, can you
talk about what you're doing today, or is that top secret?
No, no secret at all. Working on a video game at CRC. It's a local recording studio here, and a group from the NHL comes in every year, and we produce this game, and so we're doing some work on that. It takes... 5 sessions, 6 hours a day, and then later in March we'll do some more. And
that'll be released in the fall?
Mm-hmm. Game gets produced, and it's a lot of fun. I can't play it very well, but it's a lot of fun to watch other people play. So
will you simulate what you do on the air in this game?
Yeah. What you do is you go in and imagine what happens. You don't watch video of a game or anything. For example, you'll get a command like, okay, goaltender pulled. They're trying to get off the ice for the extra guy. Can't get off. Do it.
So do the call.
Wow.
And you can't mention a particular name.
Sure.
And you can't mention a team's name because those get stitched in depending on who's playing the game and what lineup they've chosen.
And is there a director or somebody telling you, yeah, do that again, but a little more, like somebody needs to tell you how to, you know, put emphasis on a certain thing or not. But
yeah, they evaluate it and then they say, that's good, now we need 4 more because they want to have variety. And so...
Is it fun? It sounds like a ton of work.
Yeah, it is. You're exhausted by the end of the day, but it's more acting than anything else.
Sure,
because
right.
You're really challenging
your
imagination.
Can we get this CD on iTunes?
You know what would be cool? The making of.
Right?
Right?
It would be.
It is a lot of fun, people work on it.
Sit there for an hour like, that's a humdinger. That's a humdinger. That is a humdinger.
That's a good point. How many different ways can you say Skeeter?
Right?
Good, Dean.
Right?
Later today is the big testing day because we do all the goal calls. And so we wait until Friday afternoon, and the last hour is a lot of screaming.
What is your favorite, outside of yourself, which you'd never pick, because I know you. Who's your favorite goal call of all time? Goal caller, I guess.
I really like the guys in Chicago a lot, and I'm not trying to be political.
Not being
but
a home.
No. But I listen to John a lot.
Weideman's good.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Because to do a game on radio, you're having to describe a lot, and that he shoots, he scores, that John pulls off, and to beat the crowd to the punch, that's
right?
Not easy. That's not easy, because you've got to really be on top of it to be... And if you listen to a game that he calls at the stadium, same thing with Pat.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say as much to do television. But so that there are a lot of guys across the country really good at this, but the two in Chicago are great.
Yeah, and the two guys sitting next to him are real good, too. Your great friend Eddie Olchek and Troy Murray.
Mm-hmm. And now, he's on the video game, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
He is.
We got some good health news with Eddie, too, as he continues to progress, which is great. All right, so here's what's coming up on Dean's list of good things. You got Tonya Harding. Good things in Tonya Harding. That's rarely in the same sentence.
And it's not going to be this morning, either.
Critics' Choice Awards. Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the news.
Yeah.
The Post is one of several movies opening wide today. Can't wait for that. And even a little Rosemary. But let's start with what's really important before we take the break. Happy birthday to who today, Dean?
It's my mom's birthday today.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's my
mom's 95th birthday.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? 95th.
Holy cow.
95 years old. Isn't that amazing?
And how old's your dad, John? John DeCosta's
93.
So then Dean's mom would be...
They've been dating for... How long have they been dating?
No, no, Dean's mom would be a cougar.
A cougar, dad? Yes.
Yeah. We tried to book them, but they both had other plans.
Yeah. And how old's your dad?
My dad just turned 94.
Wow.
And or just a kid.
Wow. And my mom is 93.
Wonderful jeans.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Bodes well.
Thanks. They're Levi's, but... Thanks.
Bodes well for Dean's future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I got John to do the introduction music, you know, for this segment. That's when our parents were dating. And it was, you know, looking like it was going to be pretty hot and heavy, and we were going to be brother-in-laws.
Yeah, that's right.
That's stepbrothers, stepbrothers.
Stepbrothers. Disturbing in a lot of ways. Yes. A lot of ways. All right, so happy birthday. What are you doing for your mom? I just Chuck E. Cheese again?
I sent over a case of Jose Cuervo to her house.
Okay. Sounds right.
Really, pretty much today I'm covered.
You know, but when she wakes up on Sunday, what are you going
to
do for her?
Yeah, we're probably going to have like a nice dinner. Go to a favorite restaurant for dinner, something like that.
I thought maybe you go by the house, and in true Greek condition or tradition, you go, Mom, what are you making me?
There you go.
Bring my laundry over.
Exactly. Yeah. Make me enough for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have some birthday yogurt. I'm sure she's got the heating pad all worked
all
up.
Fired up.
Making her homemade Greek yogurt with her heating pad.
Will she be on your show Sunday?
I don't know. I don't know if she will or
Depends
not.
Depends on if she gets a better
She's
offer.
She's become so difficult to work with on the air. Her agent won't even return my calls anymore.
You should hear what my dad says about her.
Wait a minute.
Dean, it's funny because I got her for weekend break. So we're interviewing her all weekend long.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you pay enough, you get her.
That's right. Shh.
Yep. And it's funny when she rubs her fingers together and she goes, make it rain, Andrea.
And I say, okay.
Dean will talk about those movies and other stuff in just a second. What's coming up at 8:30?
Well, President Trump is denying that he used vulgarity to describe Haiti and African countries. That story and more.
Must have been somebody else with an orange haircut.
Guys, can I interrupt here, too? Can I interject? Dick Durbin has just held a news conference that we are monitoring here in the newsroom where he's talked directly about this. Senator Durbin was in the room when this happened. So was Senator Lindsey Graham.
Has he said anything yet?
Durbin says that he, referring to the president, said these hate-filled things, and that what the president has tweeted this morning is not true. He said that Senator Lindsey Graham and he both questioned the president, said that Lindsey Graham actually went against the president and told him basically that what he had said was out of line. Durbin said that he's heartbroken this morning that this kind of language was used. He said repeatedly, not just once, but repeatedly during this Oval Office meeting involving the president.
All right, well, keep listening to that, and that's the thing you and I were just talking about off the air.
Right.
You deny it when there's not just Republicans in the room, but Democrats who could easily use this against you. Why, in what world, it sounds like a ridiculous question considering who we're talking about, but in what world does he think he's going to be able to deny it?
I have no idea, but in the next tweet, too, which we'll tell you about at 8:30, he is blaming Democrats now.
Is it Obama's fault yet?
That was London. That was London.
He'll find a way.
That's right. All this coming up from the WGN Radio Newsroom at 8:30.
Calling his name, oh.
826, regular listener of the program, friend of mine, David Most, texted in, hey, I play the game Doc Emmerich's talking about. It's great. He had so much to the reality of the game. Eddie O's great as well. So there you go. Just another Doc Emmerich pal. Let's go to Dean Richards for the important list here.
I'm not trying to one-up Doc in any way, but I've been fairly successful with my Victory Auto Wreckers video game.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I actually voice it also. Well, just like Doc is saying, I go in and say, that old car may be worth money. That old car may be worth money. I do it several different ways.
Sure. Totally understand.
And then they build, you know, the door falls off.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, good for you, man. Good for you.
So good.
We're just talking about the good news with Eddie O. What about Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus has been undergoing chemotherapy for a while now, revealed that she had breast cancer. But her sons did the nicest thing. They put together like a mixtape for her final day of chemo, in which her two sons, Henry and Charlie, 25 years old and 20 years old, danced and lip-synced to Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's so cool.
That's pretty cool.
Julia Louis tweets out, my beautiful boys made this for me today, my last day of chemo. Pretty swell, right? Aren't they sweet?
And Charlie, you know well.
No, but Charlie is a Northwestern basketball player.
Yeah.
He's a junior at Northwestern.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, Critics' Choice Awards last night?
Critics' Choice Awards. These are given out by the Broadcast Film Critics Association, of which I am a voting member. And we chose as our best picture The Shape of Water. It won 4 awards last night.
It beat all the other movies where sea creatures have sex with humans.
they just have meaningful relationships, Steve. We don't know if there is actually the deed was done,
okay,
as the kids like to call it. Won 4 awards, including Best Director for Guillermo del Toro. So that gives this movie a little more steam going into the Oscars early part of March. Frances McDormand won again for Best Actress. 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Gary Oldman again winning as Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour.
Did the women wear black?
They did not. They wore a variety of colors.
So does that break that pattern right away then, and the other award shows can do as they please?
I don't think they said they were going to do it much beyond the Golden Globes.
Okay.
But it seemed, while I was watching it last night, it did seem odd. It seemed like they should have kept it going. A lot of the people still were wearing those pins that say Time's Up. So, you know, still supporting the movement, but back wearing colorful clothes again.
Tanya Harding all over TV last night, and the story of Tanya, some 2-hour deal. Of course, the I, Tanya movie, everybody liked. Everybody's talking about it.
Yep.
Tanya have a bad day yesterday?
She did have a bad day yesterday. She was dropped by her agent yesterday. Steve, we know how much agents, you know, love dropping, you know, some of their most prominent clients.
Sure, super agent Steve Mandel has gotten rid of me every couple of days.
That's exactly right. Only because you wouldn't write a book that he's asked you to write several times. So the reason Michael, it's a joke that only Steve and I know. Michael Rosenberg was the name of this agent, and he said that he's decided to part ways with Tanya because she was demanding that reporters sign an affidavit saying that they will not ask her anything about the past.
It's ridiculous.
If they do, they would agree to pay $25,000.
Yeah, that's the way it works, Tanya. Good call.
I've had people demand that you sign an affidavit saying that you won't use the interview for anything but what was intended. But never anything like this. Never, you know, deciding what your content is going to be and never fining you. So anyway, the agent, to his credit, said, you know, we all know that this is ridiculous. Doesn't work that way. And he said, bye-bye. I'm done with you.
Unfortunately, the limp is because Tanya blackjacked him right after they had the discussion. All right, quickie movie reviews. Paddington 2.
Loved it. Gave it a Dean's List B+. So charming, so wonderful. Hugh Grant is the villain in this movie and is like a narcissistic, over-the-top, washed-up actor who is trying to strike it rich.
Should
hilarious.
Run for president.
He didn't swear in the movie. That was the only problem.
The Commuter
is Liam Neeson's new movie. Liam Neeson's going to be 65 years old in June.
And he's still a badass.
And he would kick our butts up and down Michigan Avenue right now without even blinking an eye. It's another one of his you know, movies of that thread, this time on a train.
I have a certain set of skills.
He has a certain set of skills.
Many of them involve the ticket you're holding for this train.
Just so happens he's an ex-police officer and is able to carry out what is requested of him on this movie. The plot line's a little bit corny, but I love seeing Liam Neeson kick butt. It's fun. This is just a
fun
hour and 45 minutes. Dean's List B on that one.
And all of it was shot in Thomas the Tank Engine. A lot of people don't know that. Phantom Thread looks like a voyeur thing. Is that right?
It's, well, a little bit. It's really just more of an over-flourished relationship drama. Daniel Day-Lewis says that this is going to be his last movie ever.
Yeah, of course it is.
That he's retired. He's not coming back. Cher said that about 6 times.
Are we sure he's not preparing for a role where he plays an actor who's retired? Because, you know, he's method.
It's possible. It's very possible. this is... it's a good movie. A really good performances. interesting storyline, a tiny bit overly artsy at times. I gave that one a Dean's List B+. This new Taraji P. Henson movie, Proud Mary, where she plays a hit woman for the mob, not screened for the critics. Which is
it's a bad sign, kids.
Never a good sign when they don't let the critics see it ahead of time. The Post, which I reviewed last week, I gave a Dean's List A. Yep. I loved it.
Can't wait.
Was only in a few theaters last week, and this week they put it in all theaters, so you should be able to find The Post just about everywhere this weekend. Also, there's a tiny little documentary about Rosa Marie from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Sally Rogers on the Dick Van Dyke Show, about her amazing life as a child star and everything that she went through, being friends with Al Capone, helping to, you know, get the mob up and running in Las Vegas. A really interesting life that I didn't know a lot about. And also her 9 years in show, 9 decades in show business.
How about that?
9 decades in show business. She just recently passed away a couple of weeks ago. But this documentary is called Wait for Your Laugh. It's at Facets, 1 week only. It's the only place you can see it. But if you're a fan, definitely worth seeing.
And I got a video game deal for you while you were in the break. You know, Grand Theft Auto was this huge, huge video game.
Sure.
More age appropriate. I got you Grand Theft Solitaire.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a little slower.
A little easier.
Yeah, a little easier to play. Have a great weekend.
See you on Sunday morning.
There you go. That's Dean. He'll be on the radio then, and we're back next.
Class, anybody, what comes next? The fries. You're right. After that, the pieces of tomato. The coleslaw on top with just enough force. Gets that other piece of bread to the top, makes the wrapper go over, doubles, and slides.
How good is that? 844 Coach Kiss Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Doc Emrick talking about the Primanti Brothers sandwich in Pittsburgh. Coach Q joins us now, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And a treat for you today, Coach. We have Doc Emrick live in studio.
It really is. Well, that's how good is that right there, right in downtown Chicago?
Well,
right here.
On top of that, you know, no more dopey questions for me. Doc's here. You're going to have to actually, you better be on your game today, Coach.
Somehow or other, I think he's going to be fine.
Doc, you first. What would you like to say to Coach Q?
Anthony Duclair, where is he, and what do you expect, and how soon?
Well, we expect him to play tonight, and you know, I think he adds an element to our team that speed and quickness, and he's good off the rush. Alfie had him in New York, and you know, I think he's shown signs that he can be a top guy, and I think getting that consistency, something I think he's got to be excited about this opportunity. Looking forward to talking to him here this morning. So I just think that. You know, coming from there and coming in this situation where you got a chance to make the playoffs and go from there, and a lot to prove is something that we're looking for and see. His opportunity is going to be pretty good right off the bat here tonight, and got a chance to even improve off of you know, who he gets to play with as well.
Well, Winnipeg's got the most points in the Central, and they've won 3 straight and 7 out of 10. If this one goes well for you tonight, what do you expect off the start?
Well, we had a great game against them. Might have been our best first period of the year in their building not so long ago. So starts are always important. They're fast, they're quick, very agile and mobile defense. We'll have to play very tight defensively. We got to play quicker than we did the last 40 minutes against Minnesota, as you watched. And so I think that was a tough game to lose, knowing that how meaningful those points were against Minnesota.
Sure.
But we got to be way more consistent from start to the end. I think that consistency of our game, managing the puck, can be better with it.
Well, I feel bad jumping in here with Doc sitting right next to me.
You feel bad. You feel bad. Wait till you hear my question.
Are you seeing more consistency? Joel, are you seeing more consistency in general now over the last 6-7 games?
Yes, in games, certainly better stretches. You know, last game, you know, there were some opportunities. We had some zone time. We had a lot of looks. Not the quality we would have liked, but I think that's, you know, I think whether it's a net presence or finding a way to get there and then let loose stuff in front of the net, cashing in. But I thought we were No, there was potentially a lot of good opportunities last game that didn't materialize. I think that's the area that we can be better at, and I thought we've shown good signs of it over this recent stretch.
And I think that's something we see when the Hawks struggle, and not just the Hawks, any team, but you get a high-energy first period like they had against Minnesota, and the puck doesn't find the back of the net, but you keep putting pucks on net, and it's good. But then it seems like maybe the energy drops off a little bit. And if you get that kind of intense start, don't you have to keep it going?
Well, I think in every game, the other team's going to get a turn where they're going to get, chances and zone time and a little bit of momentum their way, whether it's a power play that ignites that or, they're going to eventually come at you. And I think and Minnie's one of those teams, when you play against them, they're going to try to frustrate you. They play a low chance game, and it's not the quality that you like to get as players. And so you got to play accordingly. And sometimes staying with that patience is a game plan. And you got to make sure that commitment's there, because it doesn't always have to be a pretty game, and you don't get the perfect plays against them, and you got to score ugly goals, and that willingness goes a long way to coming out with 2 points. And Winnipeg plays maybe a little bit more open game, but recognize that at the same time, you just don't want to exchange chances.
When Byfuglien left here and eventually ended up in Winnipeg, it feels like we never got another great big butt where you could park him right in front of the net and handle that trash and pick up those loose change and handle those chip-ins and things. When you get outsized but you have speed, is that a tough coaching thing to pull off?
Well, I think you have a guy like a Buff that has a net presence, and we had the luxury of having Buff on the back end with a shot. Our net presence had a really disruptive effect on our opponents in a couple of real big playoff series with Buff. Whether it was Luongo in front of the net, San Jose series, I think he created a lot of trouble for the opponent goalies. And I think that when we have a good power play, there's a net front guy, whether it was Shaughnessy in the back, and Pans was pretty effective at it, and Hartsey's, gets a turn, Johnny sometimes. But I think that that look is, if the goalie sees pucks nowadays on the power play or any time 5-on-5, they're going to find a way to stop it. So I think that it's an effective tool no matter who does it. You don't have to be the biggest guy in the world, but that willingness to get there and finding a way to stay around it is the best way of being effective.
So Sharp sits for 2 games, and now he's got 3 goals and 5, and Murphy sits for a game, and he got an assist right away, and Seabrook sits for a game, and he's gotten a goal. This cannot be fun for you, and it can't be fun for a player. When does it take place, and how do you start? I mean, how do you talk to them about this?
Well, it's a, I think when we look at our roster this year, we've had 23 guys around. We've got 3 extra players on a game-to-game basis. We've had stretches where we haven't changed the lineup at all. And we've gone along here. We've got a lot of we had 8 defensemen, now 9 with Gustafson here. 8 of them have had a chance to miss a game. Obviously, it's nothing that they want to hear. It's always a tough news to deliver. I mean, being fair and objective, and then doing based on evaluating and decision making based on performance, it's that close in a lot of these decisions, and they're tough. And but we usually tell them after the morning skate, sometimes before warm ups. That's when you get the message, and certainly it's not nothing, especially when you got experienced guys like a Sharpie and a Siebes that been such a big part of our team, and delivering that's not the easiest news. But they both handle it like pros, and do whatever they can to help the team when they get back in.
This could probably come from Andrea, because Eddie Olczyk tells me she likes to hit the $2 window now and then.
All right, but every now and again.
Yes. From your experience.
$2 window, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have those $2 windows anymore.
That's right. They're fives and tens.
It's just a window anymore.
Okay.
It's a window in an ATM machine.
Back through ATM your playing days, and coaching Colorado and St. Louis and here, and back through your experience in the other sport, who are more temperamental, goalies or jockeys?
Temperamental. Okay. I know one thing. The goalies have their union and for being different, whether temperamental or not, are part of it. So I'm going to say that's a little bit. So I don't know jockeys as well as I know goalies, but I do know jockeys' competitiveness. And, you know, they're both extremely competitive, the temperamental part. You know, I'm going to say goalies are definitely different than jockeys, than any profession, okay? They got their own unit. Yeah.
Who would be more uncomfortable to be caught in a broken elevator, goalies or jockeys? Now listen, you'd probably be a little bit
with the jockey size, you might be able to be spend a couple extra minutes. It might be a little tighter in there with the big.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, there's a lesson from today. Last word for you, Doc.
Eddie Olchek texted this in. He wants to know, this year's Kentucky Derby winner, will it be from the East Coast or the West Coast? Ask the coach.
Well, it's so early in the campaign, and it's that time of year now where all the horsemen and owners they're excited about their chances of getting that winner and that thrill of a lifetime of being a Derby winner. So it's way too early. I don't know. Mike Pegram's got a nice 2-year-old out in the West Coast, and I'll be rooting for him right now. And so we'll see what happens. And the horse is McKinley or something like that. I can't think of the horse's name right off the bat. He's won a couple big stakes out in California. He's got a good shot, but it's still way too early. There's probably horses we haven't even seen or heard about that are definitely going to be on the campaign.
Look at you. Doc Emrick.
Eddie probably got a horse right now that I think he probably thinks can win.
Right, and he's probably seeing if you're matching up.
Eddie, we're always thinking, Eddie, good luck, Eddie, going forward here. We're pulling for you.
He's doing great. By the way, as player coach, I mostly made me a healthy scratch during this segment. I don't know if you noticed.
That's a good one.
All right. Hey, Coach, we'll see you this week. It's a big weekend. 2 tonight with Winnipeg. Get those 2 points and then get 2 more against the Red Wings. We don't see them enough, so it'd be fun to come back Monday with 4 in the bank. But have fun out there.
All right. Thanks, gang.
Thanks. And it's sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Dave, you've been in this game a long time. How would you rate young Doc Emrick's performance there?
I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a future in this business.
It is the Steve Cochran Show, about a minute before 9. CLTV will join us in just a second. Next hour, David Hochberg in studio. We're going to play a special match game featuring Doc Emrick. And Jeremy Roenick coming up as well. Back with CLTV joining us in a moment on 720 WGN.
Got bills, they're multiplying, and our credit scores are low. I can't believe we cannot refi. We just don't qualify. You better wise up, because we need a plan. Those folks at Pearl know what to do. You better call now. And get that Hochberg man. What he says we know is true.
Call him now, that's what to do.
You can ask him right now. 720. You can ask him right now. 720. You can ask him right now.
David Hochberg's here. David, your phone's ringing.
It is.
That is your ringtone, isn't it?
It is my ringtone. Yes.
The musical stylings of John DeCoste, musical director for the program. How about a sitting ovation for John?
Very nice, John.
That's really, really, that's good.
The pitch was great. The tune was great. Everything.
I'm not looking for you to be Simon Cowell. It's a song for you. Okay?
He did a nice job.
Settle down.
Thank God his son was there. It sounded really good.
David Hochberg is here, and Pearl Mortgage is where you can get Hochberg's help anytime by doing what?
Just giving us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. Go to WGNDavid.com. We're making a conscientious effort this year to post one video a day. With the help of your son, Ross, we're doing a lot of social media this year.
Yep.
Answering listeners' questions about real estate, mortgages, credit, and anything that they want to know about finance. We're here to help, and we need the content. So if you have a question, send it in, and we'll make a video. And we're going to make an effort every single week, every single day, we're going to post a new video. That's my goal this year.
Hold on, now
you are.
Over the new year, there was all these commercials for these, like, get pre-approved
on your phone apps, like, oh, it's so simple, three steps, and you can be pre-approved. And I, as a person who's applied for mortgages, there's no way it can be simplified into three steps on an app. You need some people explaining things to you and walking you through. And after you do it right, they have to come back and you ask you again because you didn't do it right.
Right.
So
that rocket's coming right back to hit you if you go that route.
Well, you know, listen, you could call the people that like to play with their rockets and shine their rockets and realize when you go with the people that enjoy playing with their rockets on the mortgage
the rocket
side,
people.
John, no, you can't. Well, yeah, you could say that, the rocket people, because they have trademark on the other thing, and I have to be careful because they have a lot of lawyers. But, you know, the people, the rocket people. And if you look at, we got a call this week, okay, and Ross is helping the lady refinance $9,100. In closing costs for going a divorced lady, single mother of two kids in Iowa.
That's not a deal. That's a con.
Well, how do you think they pay for all those ads, Roland? How do you think they pay for every time I go get gas? I got gas, and I'm just like, you know, shiny rockets. So click now and apply, and everything's great. It's a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? Listen, if I charge everybody and I had an episode on the way in, and now you got me fired. I got to add another travel episode. But we're talking rockets right now. So
Come here, let me rock you.
So $9,100. I got the email. It's $9,100. I'm like, you got a single mother of two ladies living in Iowa, driving to Northbrook. It's disgusting.
Yes.
What it is,
David? Give me an idea what you're passionate about.
You don't want to see people taking advantage,
John.
John,
regardless of who they are,
it frosts me. Okay, faulty advertising. It just it bothers me.
It burns your bacon.
Yes.
I love bacon. It twists your pretzels.
It twists a lot of things. Exactly. It's something. I've been losing a lot of weight, so things I haven't been able to twist in the past 10 years, I'm starting to twist again.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, listen, if you have that little voice inside you that says, I feel like I'm being taken to the cleaners, you probably are.
You probably are.
But pick up the phone and call you.
Yeah. It's a simple call. You know, the other thing I get is that there's this other jackass that advertises on, not the station. If you're not in the twos, call me. Okay, and it's not in the twos. What's the program? How much is it going to cost you? You know, what type of loan are you quoting people? But when you do it in a 30-second ad, you can't get all that stuff, which is kind of the important thing.
How is that not bait and switch?
Of course it's bait and switch. If you're not in the twos, what are you talking about? It's clear bait and switch. It's
Steve,
honest.
I'm pretty scared right now.
Steve, just stop.
I'm sitting next to him, and I'm really a little nervous.
Got to put the spit shield up there, John. I apologize in a bit. You might need a shower.
That's with the salad bar sneeze guard when you're on.
I want to cry.
I'm sweating already. I'm not even on 2 minutes with you.
Well, I have something that'll make you happy.
Oh God,
I have something that'll make you happy.
A hug?
No, that's not going to happen.
A no calorie brownie.
Doc Emmerich.
Favorite. Right,
Doc Emmerich.
I took a picture with the legend.
Doc Emmerich is here.
Right,
as a proud Blackhawk season ticket holder.
Yes, and a sweet holder.
Yes. Who tapes the game so you can go home and listen to
Doc.
Yes,
I do.
What a treat for you.
You get a chance.
This is how you calm down. You get a chance to meet the great Doc Emmerich.
Doc, are you going to be in town Sunday for the Red Wings game too?
Yeah, your passion for this is comparable to what the rest of us have for the sport.
If I invite you down to my suite, P45 center ice.
He's working. What do you think?
During the break, he could come and get some macaroni and some Garrett's
popcorn.
What
do you think he does during the break?
He probably takes a break and goes get something to eat so he could take the elevator up.
Could you swing by?
Want to swing by? I'm just making an offer. I'm not asking him. I'm extending an invitation. If you're not doing anything during the break, we'd like some great macaroni, maybe a hot dog and some Garrett's popcorn.
Can't get that anywhere.
And we got the queso bar. I got the queso bar going. I never had the queso bar. Everybody says the queso bar is delicious. Yeah, yeah. So if you would like to, it's P45. It's center right. You take the elevator up one floor. Boom. We'd love to have you. If you have time, got nothing going on during the break, we'd love to have you.
Oh,
you know, just I'm being a courteous host.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's very nice.
How long do you stay after the game's
over? I stay about an hour. I let the parking lot clear out because I don't want to freeze my tchotchkes off in my car. And I watch the press conference with Coach Q, and we talk with the 15, 20 people in the suite, and then we just roll out of there.
There's a shot.
Yeah,
P45, you're always
maybe
welcome.
Doc could come by afterwards.
I'm having a conversation.
Yeah, the commercial
with
breaks.
Well, I hate to break it to you. We're actually on the air.
That's okay. But but how many times do we get to sit next to Doc?
Yes. Commercial breaks are a minute 40. I don't think I can make it down and back by this.
But during the periods, if you got nothing going on.
Here's the thing. Like during your day, I mean, you have a break, say, for lunch or something.
I don't break.
Don't you have other agenda items you have to take care of?
I just blow right through lunch.
He has a few minutes between the two periods. He's got to look at notes. He's got to consider the flow of the game. He probably has to talk to a producer. Maybe the director's in his head. Maybe he has a chance to go to a restroom. Maybe he has a chance to grab a sip of a cool beverage. You know, it's not like he doesn't love you. He just can't swing by your suite between periods.
I'm not asking him to. I'm extending an invitation, trying to be a courteous person here because I'm in the presence of Doc.
The legend.
The legend. He's awesome.
Exactly right.
I've been listening to you for years, and I'm talking right now. Can you give me a second? I can listen to the hockey game. I can listen to the hockey. Wow. I got to get this thought out, or else I'm going to lose it. All right, I'm going to lose the thought.
You got what? You got what?
No, I could close my eyes and listen to Doc call a game, and I could see the whole play in front of me without even seeing it.
How about you close your eyes and Doc sneaks out, and he doesn't have to file a restraining order? How about that?
I was going to say, you have to take in consideration, you've just scared the hell out of us.
Yes. We love you, Doc. Doc just toured the radio station, and literally we've had so many celebrities in. I've never had so many people stop and want to take a picture.
That's a concern when Doc leaves. Everybody wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Doc has agreed to play Match Game. I'm going to make both of you celebrity contestants on Match Game. But I haven't asked you this. Are you doing the Olympics?
No. No, they gave me the option of, NHL games during the Olympics, or because the NHL players aren't going, or going over to the Olympics. And so this time I chose to stay and do NHL games because for the first time since '98, NHL players aren't going. So we have three games on successive Sunday afternoons that I'll be doing back here.
Great. Well, I'm glad because I don't want to be concerned, but I am concerned about the geography of the location this time because
Understood.
The knucklehead next door.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not talking about you, Hochberg.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. We'll come back. We'll play Match Game in a second. David Hochberg, I'm going to ask you to hang around with us for a little bit. And before Doc Emrick leaves, we're going to make him a game show contestant. Next.
Around behind, turns away, and then game one out in front. No! Another try. He scores! It's over!
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know what I love about Doc? He makes every goal sound like it's the first one he ever called. I mean, that is, you know, you're talking about passion. I know you have a passion for the game, but you have such a gift.
Thank you.
It was such a gift for the job that you do and a love for the job that you do. I don't know. You know, I'm slightly a fan. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh, thank you. It's fun to go to work every day. I'm looking forward to Sunday, but this one tonight's going to be great.
No doubt about it. And I do want to tell people a little something about you. I hope you don't mind. When Doc goes to the United Center, wherever he goes to the game, he always arrives early because he's a professional, unlike me. And he then walks around and says hi to everybody.
He does, yes.
The organist, you know, the people selling the beverages, whoever's getting ready for the game. I love that you do that.
I learned from Ernie Harwell, one of the great baseball announcers.
Tremendous.
And the thing, I wish I knew all the names like he did. He learned the names. Of course, he was there more often. That's not an excuse. But I know some of the names. But I just like being around. I'm a rink rat.
I know
I
you love
love being around.
I know you love the Madhouse in Madison. Give me, is it Montreal? What would be another place you love to call a game?
Montreal is really good because they open the gates, they go through the turnstiles, and the standing room people run through the turnstiles screaming to get to their place.
Sure.
And it goes way back to the Forum, and there's an electric atmosphere because it's not sedate like some of the other arenas before the game. There's something in the air, and it's just because it's hockey. They don't have a very good team this year, but there's just something about their tradition, and it is electric. It's just wonderful. But this is special here, and especially for those of us that are older, because we remember when it wasn't.
No kidding. Well, it's an honor to call you a friend,
first and
foremost, but I really appreciate the time you gave us today. And I know you're going to be excited about this because it's time for Match Game. Let's play right now. Doc, you remember Gene Rayburn and his giant microphone?
Yes. From the 50s, some of the games he hosted.
Oh, yeah. And Gene Rayburn's match game, always a little saucy. So here's the deal. We need two callers at 312-981-7200. Amongst the prizes we're giving away is this big old package, gift package from Sweet Alley's Bakery. And let's make it a pair of tickets to the show in Arlington that you and I are doing on the 20th.
All right. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Plug it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like
wow.
What an idiot I am. So, metropolisarts.com. It is January 20th, Saturday night at 7:30. Larry Reeb, Uncle Lair, you, myself, Tim Benkery. It's all stand-up comedy.
It'll be fun. Cochran Comedy Tour.
Yes.
Continues. That's the 20th in Arlington Heights at the Metropolis. The callers, simply, and Pat will be first, have to match the most celebrities based on a question that John will ask as the host of the game. And whichever contestant has matched the most celebrities, they win a collection of fabulous prizes, including the tickets to the show, from the prize list. Let's go to Pat first. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
All right, John, take it away.
Pat, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Here we go. You know how to play the game?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, real good. Just I'm going to give you the phrase. You fill in the blank. Don't give me your answer until I ask for it. So everybody ready? My celebrities?
Yes.
Mike
yes.
Emmerich, also known as Doc, calls play-by-play for the NHL. He is not really a doctor, but sometimes he thinks he is. Last night he yelled, a shot and a blank.
A shot and a blank. All right, don't say it out loud.
Don't
wait till the celebrities have locked in yet.
Everybody, let me know when you're ready.
Is it a shot and or a shot and?
Don't care. Okay. How about that one? How about that one?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, great. Hang on. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Yes?
Ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Pat, what is your answer?
Beer.
A shot of beer.
Wow.
Is that
right.
Good?
Yeah, that's,
wow.
Okay. That's good. Very good. Very good.
Wow.
Here we go. Let's start with David Hochberg, our celebrity guest.
I had a prostate exam because I just had one, and I figured with the doc, I went with the doc theme. Thought it would be safe. I'm never going
to
be
your
late.
Answer, wow. Just to be clear, was a shot and a prostate exam.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're successful with this. I really am.
I'll never be invited to do this again.
Dave Ennett, next.
Shot and a gallstone.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's very good.
That's even better.
Yes. That's very,
Andrea.
Very good.
Weird. Well, I have a particular fondness for Doc, so I said an arrow to the heart.
Have you met Hochberg?
Yes.
But mine's sweet. Mine's having about a prostate.
I got a medical and examination, for God's sake.
I have the worst answer I've ever given.
Okay.
I got a shot and take two of these and call me in the morning.
No, that's not bad.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's not bad.
And?
Doc.
I don't have any creativity at all. I just put a shot and a goal.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's the answer. Dave got creative, but that's the answer.
I thought I was going to have to get a note from home to come in here after I heard the first couple.
That's the answer. So, no matches.
No matches. Right, no
hold
matches,
on, hold
but
on.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, by the way, if you've ever heard the game, Pat, no matches means you're likely to tie.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
All right, let me go to Chris in Schaumburg. Chris, we got to go quick here. All right, John.
We have another question for you, Chris. Here we go. Okay. Are you ready? And don't give me your answer until celebrities, hang on to your pens. David Hochberg has helped thousands of people since he has become a part of Pearl Mortgage, helping them with their future for a discount. He doesn't use a crystal ball. He glazes into a blank.
He glazes.
He gazes, I think, is
yes. He gazes or glazes.
He gazes into a blank. He doesn't use a... How does Hochberg help people? He doesn't use a crystal ball. He gazes into a blank.
I meant glazes.
Gazes into...
That's a donut reference.
I'm in.
Doesn't use a crystal ball.
I'm in.
He gazes into a blank. All my celebrities ready? Yes?
Ready.
Everybody ready?
No, I got nothing. Hold on one
second.
I have
nothing either. He
gazes into a crystal ball. He gazes into...
There we go. Everybody, yes? We're all in?
Yes.
Yes, we're all in. Okay. We're waiting on Steve.
Okay. I have no idea.
He's got to do this fast. He's taking the most time.
Okay,
Chris, give me your answer.
Computer screen.
Computer screen.
Gazing at, well, that's literal.
Okay,
yeah,
that's legit.
Yeah, that's
legit. That's lit. Okay, very good. David, let's
I said
with
Steve's
you.
Eyes. I was
Steve's eyes.
I went a little wonky there, Steve.
I'm just adding his two answers.
Let me tell you something. I should be so lucky.
And Steve's eyes.
Yes. And there's no theme going on there with the prostate exam and Steve's eyes. No.
All right, David, he doesn't...
He glazes into a Ouija board.
That's good, too.
Very good. Very good. Wow. That's very good. Andrea.
I went with, also, just like Doc, I went with David's personality on this one. So I said he gazes into a sledgehammer.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
your answer.
In a round way, that sort of makes sense.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
I said he gazes into a glass of Chardonnay.
Okay.
You see now why it took so long?
Do you guys want to be alone?
Yeah, you like, see now why it took
Doc,
so long?
Doc, bring us up. Close this one out.
I had computer, then I changed it to video game, but I'll say computer.
Computer.
There
good.
You go.
We have a match.
We have a winner.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chris. You have one match, and that's all you need normally on this train wreck. You are a winner. We'll see you on the 20th. We have some other prizes as well. And Pat, don't hang up. You're a winner as well. Doc, I know you got to run.
Yeah.
Enjoy
thanks.
The day.
All right.
We'll see you tonight and also on Sunday.
You guys have a good time.
All the
you?
Best, Doc Emmer.
Hi, Doc.
Love it,
Doc.
All right, we need a quick break. Quick break. We're back with the headlines next with Andrea.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Havana, na-na. Hey. Half of my heart is in Havana, na-na. Hey. Hey. He took me back to East Atlanta, na-na-na.
Camina Cabrera, Iva, Iva, Andale, Paia, Paia. That's the entire name.
Uh-huh. Havana, this is how my voice sounds on that machine.
Come on, Hochberg, let's dance.
I thought we were. You want a little closer, or you want me to? I tango really good, Steve.
You know, outside of Travis Green, who was on the show this morning, this is my new all-time favorite song. I have trouble hitting that high note. That's one problem. 9:45. Jeremy Roenick was supposed to join us. He is in the middle of the Diamond Resorts Invitational Golf Tournament at Tranquillo Golf Club at the Four Seasons in Orlando, and he got called to the range for a photo op. So we're going to run out of time before we can get him back. But a bunch of celebrities had to get their picture taken. So, you know.
Is that the same one Urlacher's in?
Yes. Okay. And we plugged it the other day, so we don't need to plug it again. Anyway, Roenick, always welcome here. There you go.
That I want to ask him about the rattlesnake.
I did, too. That's the only disappointment. David Hochberg is here, and we're talking about trying to save you some money. All right. So where are mortgage rates right now, and are they going to go up or down?
Mortgage rates are in the high threes, low fours. A lot of variables go into quoting a mortgage rate. If you hear somebody saying it, if you're not in the twos, he's a liar. And you shouldn't call them because he never states what type of program he's talking about or what cost you're going to pay to get into the twos. That's where it is right now. Most people like a fixed rate loans. I love adjustable rate mortgages. We're doing a ton of them.
Why do you love adjustable rate?
Because because the rate is usually a half to three quarters of a point lower sometimes. And if you know you're only going to be in a property for a short period of time, why not go into an adjustable rate mortgage? We've done a ton of loans last year. We did a ton of loans last year of people knowing that they're going to be empty nesters and will be downsizing when their kid graduates high school or college. I put my sister-in-law into a five-year ARM. And when my youngest nephew was a sophomore in Deerfield High School, we refinanced her into a five-year ARM because she knew as soon as Noah walked down and got his diploma that the house was going on the market two years later. And sure enough, Noah got his diploma. House went on the market. She sold her house in Deerfield and bought another house. So a five-year ARM, it got her through the two years she needed. And saved her a ton of money. We lowered her payment and her rate. Who shouldn't do it? I don't know. If you're risk averse, you know, if you don't like adjustable things, you know, I'm refinancing a neighbor of mine. I had him into a 3.5% 30-year fixed loan. He had $40,000 on a HELOC. He had a job cut. His salary got cut. He loaded up $50,000 on credit card debt. He's in a 3.5% 30-year fixed loan. He could have refinanced all of his HELOC and debt into another home equity line of credit. He didn't like the variability. So we're in the process of refinancing him into a 4.5% loan. I think that's what it is. Yes, it's crazy leaving a 3.5, but going to a 4.5. But over the long period of time, he likes the fixed rate loan. He doesn't like the variability of the home equity line of credit. He's saving $1,400. His mortgage payment is increasing by $150, but we're eliminating $1,500, $1,600 worth of credit card debt, and he's fine. Leaving his 3.5% loan, going into a 4.5% loan, and he's fine with that. So, again, I use this analogy all the time, and I apologize if people are sick of it, but Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors because it's a different flavor for every day of the month, and some people like chocolate, some people like vanilla, some people like sprinkles, some people like Rocky Road. It depends upon what you want and what fits your financial needs.
I don't trust the Rocky Road people.
I don't like the marshmallow in my ice cream. It's a personal thing.
Oh, I agree.
We worked with Hochberg. I never remember you bringing up ice cream before.
I brought up Clydesdales.
Yes.
I brought up Clydesdales.
Yes. And that conversation's over.
Yes.
All right, so... is there anything else newsworthy? Because I have a couple other general questions. Is there anything else newsworthy you think you should mention?
I think we covered it all.
Let me move on.
Go ahead.
There's a couple questions from listeners that also have some relation in the bigger picture to people we know. If you are married to somebody, you get a divorce, and you find out they ran up the credit card bills, the divorce is final, the divorce decree is final, how much are you on the hook for the credit cards while you were married?
You're on the hook for, well, here's the problem.
Even if you're not on the name of the card?
Well, if you're not on the name of the card, it's completely fine. Okay, so...
Even if you're married?
Even if you're married.
Okay.
Right? Because Andrea and I are married, right? I can only be so lucky. I'm very happily married to my current wife.
Okay, easy.
Who's not me.
Who's not you. But
try to focus. Look at me.
But, okay.
Here's a cookie. Here's a cookie.
We're still good friends.
Okay. All right. So if Andrea and I, we're married and we get divorced and Andrea had 4 credit cards in Andrea's name, that's Andrea's challenge. Okay? Right. But if we had a joint credit card, David Hochberg and Andrea Hochberg...
You're on the hook.
I'm on the hook. Even though she's now Mrs. ex Andrea Hochberg, okay, but we have a joint card, and the court says that Andrea is responsible for the 4 joint cards. Great. Problem is, my name is still on Andrea's cards.
Right.
Okay, if Andrea wants to throw a little torpedo,
so you sign for the debt.
Well, you're still on the hook, even though the divorce decree says that Andrea is responsible. If Andrea wants to give me a little going away present and start throwing late payments in, it's going to impact my credit score. If Andrea wants to blow up her credit on the credit cards that I'm not on,
so you should probably seek to settle all open accounts.
You should make sure that we get this all the time in divorce. And this is January. This is a big month for divorce. Okay, because everybody wants to start everybody wants to start the year. You ask any divorce attorney,
there's resolution, dump him,
dump that putz. I want to start the year off. I'll get rid of him, get rid of her.
Divorce.
Well, thank you.
And I warned you about her.
Focus. Steve, so did Steve.
Focus. Here's another.
So did Ennett. And it's like, stay away.
Here's
from
another.
But
I never
said
David.
But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're going through a divorce, right, and you have joint credit cards, you got to be very, very careful that those joint credit cards are paid. And how do you make sure? You've got access to the online reporting of the credit card. So you can go online to make sure that your spouse is supposed to pay it. And if you can, because I've had this a number of times, they're like, well, I'm not responsible for the card. I'm like, Spartacus, you're on the card. Okay? So go make the payment. To make sure that the payment's made, then go to your attorney, have the attorneys go back to court, and then get the, if you have to pay your ex alimony or something, it'll get taken at a future alimony to prove that you're paying those cards to protect your credit score.
What if a spouse dies?
Well, here, that's a unfortunately great question. And John, I sent an email to my credit enhancement expert, Gary Novell, 630-624-9557, best in the business. I said, Gary, I had a question this morning. Wife dies with the number of credit card that the husband is not on. Is the surviving husband responsible for the credit card debt? And Gary sent back to me, nope, he's free and clear, not responsible for it. Banks may try and get him to pay, but he's not liable for it. I said, okay. And then he sent back another one. Even if he was on them as an authorized user, he still would not be responsible. Only if it was a joint car holder would he be responsible. He should send a copy of the death certificate to the banks that hold the credit card.
All right.
Okay, so this is very important. Death happens, right? Divorce happens, life happens, all this stuff. So We deal with this every single day. Okay, so what seems overwhelming to you, Steve, and we know everything's a lot of things seems overwhelming to John because that's just John's day, and we love John for it, and I get calls every day. What about this? And I'm glad I'm on an unlimited phone package.
Focus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got questions about this stuff, just call us.
Yeah.
The call's free. We're going to spend it. We're not going to charge you like other people are going to charge you on an hourly basis to ask questions.
Some rip-off account.
Some rip-off.
Stand by a couple more minutes with Hochberg when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Travis Green, get that new Travis Green album crossover live from Music City. I can download that now. And Travis is going to come back in when he's back in town to do the show. We love having him on. David Hochberg, what's your phone number again?
312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also at WGNDavid.com.
We talk about it all the time, but the Steva Las Vegas contest is on. Go to Las Vegas with me and Andrea and Sandberg and Stephanie. Yeah. We're all going to go to Vegas.
I'm going on that trip.
Yeah, Hochberg's going too.
Yeah.
He is, for real.
The trip has been canceled now.
No, but we did a fun...
Pick another date.
We did a great photo shoot, which you can see.
Yeah. I saw the jumpsuits are that? Kick. Woo.
The video is going to be up today, Steve.
Once again, that's for ROA Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
No, looking forward to it. And we're going to see you in Las Vegas when the Hawks play the Golden Knights. Meanwhile, Hawks tonight and Sunday.
Tonight against the Winnipeg Jets, 7:30 face-off. And then on Sunday... The Detroit Red Wings at 11:30.
You know, there could be a realignment where we'd get the Red Wings back for five or six starting next year.
Talk about that.
Yeah, we'll see. Upload a photo of you being a big Blackhawks knucklehead at WGNRadio.com/contest. You can find out all the information.
Hochberg wins.
Yes, that's exactly right.
He's already going.
That is exactly.
Are we rooming together, Steve? Are we sharing a room?
Again, that's Roe and you.
I want my buddy back, buddy back, buddy back. I want my buddy back, buddy back, buddy back. Bill's back.
Bill is back in the house. Hope you had a nice time.
Oh, Steve, so nice.
So you spent the entire week in Tinley Park?
Yeah.
I said you were at a toy symposium.
Oh, come on.
Do they have toys where you were?
No, Mexico has no toys.
No.
Yes, they do.
They don't have any toys in Mexico. No.
Do you have
kids play with tamales and they like it.
Your entire toy collection, do you have a wall that Mexican people try to get over?
Yes.
Donald Trump asked me to ask.
No, he didn't, Steve. He didn't say that.
Oh, he didn't say that? Oh, I'm sorry. No. All right, so we'll see you back here on Monday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Northwestern basketball this weekend?
Heading to Bloomington, Indiana tomorrow. The game is Sunday afternoon, right after the Hawks and Red Wings at 3:30, 3:15 pregame.
And go Cats.
Go Cats.
Bill will detail his vacation and talk about when he was shirtless. First Year's Wendy.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.